hope is our anchor. What's an anchor? Well, an anchor is what holds a boat where it needs to be. Sometimes we put our anchor in the wrong place. Maybe where there's no problems. Maybe, God, that you'll help us to circumvent all of the issues, all the inconveniences. But listen carefully. Nobody lives on cloud nine. There's no residences there for sale, no apartments to rent. We live in the reality of this earth. But if our anchor is fixed on Jesus, you might get jostled a bit, but you'll be fine.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wang Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope Oahu. We all go through storms in life. Maybe right now your boat is being tossed and driven by the winds and waves. But if your anchor is secure, you will weather each and every tempest. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Hope is Our Anchor.
Well, take out your bulletins, would you, as we talk about hope is our anchor. And we're going to talk a little bit about that, but first, a humorous story. There's a big CEO of a very prominent company, and he and his wife are going on vacation. So they're driving down the middle of this country road and realize that he has to get some gas. And lo and behold, out in the remote area, there's a gas station. So he pulls in and his wife gets out to get a drink and notices that she's having an extended conversation with the gas station attendant that's pumping gas. And so finally, when she gets back in, the husband goes, "What was that all about?" She said, "Well, that's an old flame I used to have in high school. We used to date." And the husband thought for a while and with a little smirk, he says, "Aren't you glad you didn't marry him? Because if you did, instead of being the wife of a big CEO, you'd be the wife of a guy pumping gas." And she looked at her husband and said, "No, dear, you're wrong. If I did, he'd be a big CEO and you'd be the guy pumping gas." Sometimes you put your eggs in the wrong basket. And today, our message is hope is our anchor. In today's world, the word hope becomes very wispy. It's a wishful kind of shallow word. I hope I get that job. I hope that promotion comes through. I hope we have enough money. I hope this turns out okay. But in reality, the Bible gives us a completely different definition. It's not that at all. In fact, the word hope has a great substance to it. We find in the book of Hebrews, it tells us a little bit more about that. And it says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Did you know that you cannot have faith without hope? Hope is a substance. It's not a wispy, ethereal kind of wishful word. It is a substance of faith. It's the way we live. It's because you know the end of the story. Because you know how it's all going to turn out, you rewind the tape and that's how we live. It's sort of like this. I read the end of the book. We win. We win. And now rewind the tape and live like that. Otherwise, it becomes wishful thinking. And we're so open to, ambivalent to, we're just so wishy-washy and our confidence isn't set. Hope is our anchor. What's an anchor? Well, an anchor is what holds a boat where it needs to be. Some years ago, I went fishing with a fisherman in our church when we were pastoring on the Big Island of Hawaii, and he wanted to take me night fishing. I said, "Night fishing? Okay." So we get in his boat, and we go out to the, 30, 40 minutes out. And it's off the shore of the Big Island, maybe a half hour off of the shore. And you can't see your hand in front of your face. There's no streetlights you ever notice out in the ocean. And so we pull up and he stops the motor and he says, "We're going to fish for some squid." So what we do, try to catch bait, is you put a light out there. The squid are attracted to the light. You scoop them up and then we use that for bait. Well, here we are getting some squid. And when all of a sudden, not realizing our boat had been drifting, and all of a sudden there's a kabang, and our boat tips up on its nose and comes back down, squoosh. What we didn't know is we hit a hidden reef that was out in the middle of nowhere that was only about 4 feet under the surface of the water. And when we came back down, we thought, what in the world did we hit? We thought it was a whale. And now this area here is shark infested with tiger sharks. So we thought we better stay in the boat, not outside of the boat. And then the boat started going down. We realized that we had poked a big old hole in the hull of the boat. And so all of a sudden, the captain runs up to the front, pushes the throttle up, and gets going at a Mach 4 back to the dock to try and keep the hull out of the water that was taking in the water. Our bilge pump was pumping as fast as it could, but it wasn't keeping up with the water that was coming into the hull. I knew we were going to make it, but it took about 40 minutes of travel to get in. But let me just say this. When we got into dock and we finally got there, whew, although I knew we'd make it, let me tell you, I had no unconfessed sin left in my life. I was a super good Christian at that point. And I thought, you know, we should have put anchor down. You see, an anchor is what keeps your boat from drifting, going into the hidden reefs that you cannot see. Oh, when your anchor is set, your boat may jostle a little bit in the waves. It might go back and forth, but you'll not need to worry or be concerned because it's firmly anchored. And Hebrews tells us that hope is the anchor of our soul. It keeps our souls from drifting, keeps our souls from being battered by the waves, and we're not susceptible to the cross currents that would drive us into the hidden reefs. We live in an economy where we're buffeted by the waves of inflation, the rise and the fall, the bills, the economy, student loans. People are overwhelmed by what's going on. But when you're anchored in hope and your anchor's in the right place, then you might be jostled a little bit, but you'll not be overwhelmed by fear, anxiety, depression, because your hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You see, hope is how you live when you know what the end is. And when we see the end of the book, we win. Sometimes we put our anchor in the wrong place. We put it maybe where there's no problems. Maybe, God, that you'll help us to circumvent all of the issues, all the inconveniences. But listen carefully. Nobody lives on cloud nine. There's no residences there for sale, no apartments to rent on cloud nine. No, we live in the reality of this earth. But if our anchor is fixed on Jesus, you might get jostled a bit, but you'll be fine. Mary Lee is her name. Mary Lee just passed away a couple months ago, her husband a few years prior to that, but he was my best friend and helped me so much in mentoring me when I was a young 20-something year older going into ministry. I was on the cabinet of this denomination when, for some, it was partly political, but they let him go. He was the president, and they actually fired him. Later on, when I asked him, how did you wrestle with this and win? How did you come through that? That must have been horribly hard. He said, Wayne, after I was let go, he said, I couldn't face my wife. I didn't know what to say to her. I couldn't just tell her your husband just got fired. And so he said, I drove around and drove and drove and drove. Finally, he said, I got the courage to call her. And I called her and I said, Mary Lee, and I told her that I was let go. And there was a long pause on the other end of the telephone. I'll never forget what he said to me that she said. She says, honey, you just come on home and let's show the world how followers of Christ live when things like this happen. I thought, well, may your tribe increase. That was outstanding. And I've never forgotten that. You just come on home and let's show the world how followers of Christ live when things like this take place. You see, she couldn't stop the waves and the cross currents, but she could make sure that her anchor was firmly fixed in Christ. That's the hope that we all get to have. And I thought, that's what we have to learn. Do you remember when Jesus sent the disciples out two by two in Luke chapter 10? And they all came back and the Lord said, how'd it go? How'd it go? And they said, oh man, even the demon spirits are subject to us in your name. Woo! They came back singing, oh, what a beautiful morning. Everything's going my way. And the Lord says, oh, that's not where your anchor should be set. You don't rejoice in that. This is what the Lord said. Instead, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Know what the end is, because there's going to be times you're going to wrestle over here. And if you put your anchor on one of these things, you're going to be sorely disappointed and you'll lose your joy. And the devil always wants to come after your joy. He can't steal your salvation. So he'll steal the joy of your salvation and you'll give up on it yourself. He can't steal your marriage. He has no authority to. So he'll steal the joy of being married. You'll give up on it yourself. He can't steal your motherhood or being a dad. He'll steal the joy of being such, and you'll give up on it. You'll abandon it yourself. See, the enemy is waiting for us to put our anchor in any place other than in Christ, and that makes us susceptible. That's what the Bible calls an opportune moment. Because the enemy is going to do his best to mess you up. You know why? Because he takes great delight in seeing Christians walking around who have no hope. Christians walking around without hope. So, oh boy, that's contagious. And so the devil's going to go after it, but you'll know when your anchor's in the wrong place. I mean, you can feel it in your gut. You know it, you know it, you know it. David could have given up. He was about to pull up anchor, but he stopped to check where his anchor was. You see, checking your anchor and where you set it is not automatic. You got to check your anchor a lot. I have to do it all the time. When I feel myself drifting, it's okay, whoa, whoa, whoa. You'll know it. You'll feel it. There'll be a fear. There'll be an anxiety. There'll be a depression. You'll be distressed. There's stress taking place. It's almost like the Lord is saying, check your anchor. Just check your anchor. Well, what if I pulled it up, set it back down? Get it set. And it's not going to be automatic. It has to be intentional. David was overwhelmed when 250 of his best leaders rebelled against him. It's called the rebellion of Korah in the Old Testament. They all came against him. And David said, I don't know what I'm done. This is it. But instead of giving up and pulling up anchor and letting his boat drift, he challenged his very own soul. And it's in the book of Psalms, chapter 42 and verse 11. Let's read what he says as he challenges himself to set his anchor back to where it should be. Let's read it together, nice and loudly, go. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Watch this. Put your hope in, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. And that word, I will yet praise him, is actually the Hebrew word, I will again praise him. He had pulled up anchor. Whoa, 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 I'm going to put it back. He didn't say, my soul is cast down, and that's just how it is. There's nothing else I can do. It's time to just give in to the waves. No, he made a challenge to his own soul. And he said to his own soul, there might be valid reasons to be a little discouraged, but the reasons for hope are far greater. I remember when a friend said to me, he said, Wayne, when your face is towards the sun, the shadows will always fall behind you. It doesn't mean we won't have shadows. The real question is, which way is your face pointed? Towards the shadows? Or towards the sun? And when your face is towards the sun, the shadows will always fall behind you. You understand? Your anchor is set. It doesn't mean you won't be jostled around by the waves. It just means the shadows will fall behind. And even though you've pulled your anchor, you can put it back down. Because as I said, you know when your anchor's in the wrong place, when your eggs are in the wrong basket. You can feel it. You can feel it. Sometimes we'll put our anchor in people. Maybe that'll give us prominence, a celebrity, or someone we think will give us some favor, or maybe we'll put it in finances, we'll put it somewhere else, maybe a promotion. And the Lord says, no, you put your anchor in the right place. David said it this way, don't trust in noble men, in mortal man, in whom there is no salvation. Even if the people are noble, don't put your anchor there, because they'll disappoint you. You'll know it. He continues and says, even though your riches increase, do not what? Set your heart on them. Don't put your anchor there. No, put it back in God. That's where it belongs. Put your hope in God. Hope is the anchor of our soul. And without faith, says, without a hope, you have no faith. For faith is a substance of things hoped for. What you know is the end. I live that way. And I put my face towards the sun, and the shadows will be there, but they'll always fall behind. Put your hope back in the creator of the universe, the one who flung the stars in space, created man out of dust, the one who hid water in a rock that would lead 2 million people through the desert, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the one who created the aurora borealis with neon colors to enchant mankind living on the earth as they see, wow, the creativity of our God is absolutely stunning. Put your hope in that one who is a creator of the heavens and the earth, because he will never disappoint you, never cause you to be disenchanted. Faith is the substance, or the way you live, the reality of things hoped for. You see, I read the end of the book, and I know we're going to be good. You say, but Wayne, what if you hope and hope and nothing happens? I'd rather say, what if something does happen? I'd rather be known as someone who puts their hope in God rather than someone who put their anchor in fear. I'm not going to do it. No. Because when you put your hope in God, it doesn't make you immune, but it does give you a refreshed strength again and again and again. Let's read it. It's in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. Would you read it nice and loudly? Go. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Let me finish with this illustration. Let's say you're in a World Series baseball game and you're up to bat, two outs, last inning, you're down by 1 point. There's one guy on base and you're up to bat. The pitcher pitches it. And because it's the last inning, if you strike out, two outs, game is over, you lose. But instead he pitches it and you hit that thing as hard as you can, and bang, it flies over the outfield fence. Home run. Nothing's changed, but the home run is hit. You win. Everybody comes out of the dugout, yeah, because it's last inning. You're down by one now. You'll score two. You win. End of the game. Done. But even though everyone's saying, we won, this is so cool, it's over the fence, home run, done. What do you still have to do? You still have to touch the bases. You see, I want you to know that Jesus, you read the end of the book, he hit it out of the field, out of the park, done. And salvation is not spelled D-O, it's spelled D-O-N-E. Done. He nailed it. We win. However, we have a part to play. We get to touch the bases. But our hope is not in us or our ability. It's in him and his ability. It's out of the park. We win. But in our life, we get to live in the hope of salvation. Did we do it? No, he did. It's over. We win. But you don't have to run to first base as hard as you can, face slide into second, hook slide into third, and bash the catcher on the way home. No, you don't need to produce, just need to obey. And so we run to first. Might take us a little long to get to second. We can saunter around third, amble home, but it's done. But you get to touch all the bases. So it is with us. Check your anchor. That's your role. Make sure it's set back in Jesus. You can feel it. When you feel that, it's a sign. Oop, my anchor needs to be placed back in him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. In Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. If you've never received Jesus, that's a base that you need to touch. That's first base. You say, well, if the Lord's already taken care of it, then I'm free as a bird. Oh, no, you still get to touch the bases. And so in a moment, I want to give you an invitation to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It'll be the most eternal decision you will ever make. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Let's stand together as we conclude. If you're here and you've never received the Lord before, can I encourage you to do that now? You say, well, how do I do that? Real simple. Just let the Lord know that that's you. God, I need you in my heart. I've got a checkered past and I've messed up. I've strayed. My anchor was pulled up and I drifted a long way and nailed a couple of reefs. I might be ready to capsize. Lord, would you come into my heart? Would you redeem me? And he will, but he waits for you. You might say, but I'm 1,000 miles away from God right now. Do you know that God, through Jesus Christ, will take every step to close that gap, except the last. You have to touch that base. When you make a step towards Christ, everything starts to change. Forgiveness takes place. Eternal life is offered and given. And you embark on an adventure of walking with Jesus. Do that if you've never done this before. Would you bow your heads with me? If you're here today and you say, I need to receive Jesus. I need to receive him as Lord and Savior. God knows I need forgiveness and a second chance. Lord, would you come into my heart? If that's you right now, would you raise a hand? And in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus. Go ahead, just do it right now, okay? Yeah, the Lord sees those, yeah. Yep, you too, yeah. Lord sees those. By the way, at the end of every service, to my left and your right will be prayer partners. And if you've received Christ, they've got some follow-up material to help you in your first few steps with Jesus. So please access them. You might say, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but I think my anchor's been in the wrong place. I need help to reset it in him. I can feel it when it's in the wrong place. There's anxiety. There's pain in my life. There's broken relationships. There's anger. So much. And it's simply symptoms that my anchor is misplaced. I need to make that change. Jesus, would you help me? If that's you, would you raise a hand? And so you're saying, yeah, Lord, I just need your strength. Go ahead. Just raise your hand. Let him know. Fear not. The Lord respects those and begins to move. We're going to say this prayer and I'm going to ask you to repeat it after me. Let's all say this prayer together. Would you say this with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I turn from my sins and I turn to you and I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And now I say this so everyone can hear, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him in Jesus' name. And Father, that's a cry of our heart. Thank you for loving and embracing us just like we are. And within your embrace, would you change us from glory to glory into your image, the people you designed us to be. Thank you for your patience and your grace, your love that keeps us close to you. For even when we're unfaithful, you remain faithful. We're thankful for that. And now we give you praise and glory. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray and we all say, hey, welcome these who said yes to Jesus.
You have just heard a message entitled, Hope is Our Anchor, by Dr. Wayne Cordero, founding pastor of New Hope, Oahu. Thank you for listening.
we would like to offer you a copy of Pastor Wayne's book, Dream Releasers. In its pages, you will find the inspiration and motivation to realize your full God-given potential. For your gift of $10 or more, we will send you a copy of Dream Releasers. You can give online at lifejournal.cc. Again, that's lifejournal.cc. God bless you.
Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
Put your hope back in the creator of the universe, the one who flung the stars in space, created man out of dust, the one who hid water in a rock that would lead 2 million people through the desert, the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Put your hope in that one who is the creator of the heavens and the earth.
God bless you and aloha.